in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And we're actually recording here, doing our podcast here on the morning of what I'm assuming will be probably the biggest national holiday of all time. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Ominous,
like five
man. Listeners
that are listening. We are actually doing our recording here because it'll come out on the 5th of July. We are on the 4th of July doing our recording. And yep. I gotta ask Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, what did you have for breakfast today?
I have not had breakfast yet. But I
what are you having for breakfast today?
I do have spam at the ready for when we are
you
done
do
with
have
this
spam
recording.
At the ready.
Yes, spam is at the ready. I actually ended up going grocery shopping last night with my wife in the middle of all of our errand running, which we had a bunch. And I made sure to it wasn't even on the grocery list. And I'm like, we're getting spam. It's happening. So I got myself a couple of cans of spam.
What was the wife's response to that?
She just kind of rolled her eyes, just like, all right, whatever. She doesn't get it, man. But like I said, you convinced me. You convinced me. I think it's absolutely necessary.
She's just like, you're seriously going to listen to James?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that was the look on her face. Just like, you're going to, man. He can't be an influence on your life like that.
Yes, I can. I totally can. I hope I'm influencing more people. I hope. I really do hope that eventually.
Oh, is that your master plan? That's why we started this nightmare.
they need to understand the importance of spam to U.S. history, to world history, and understand that it is the most patriotic thing that you can eat, at least in modern America. And I did, I just, so you know, again, I have spam almost every morning. I think I missed one morning this week where I didn't have any spam, but that was like, I forget what the breakfast was that morning. I think we might've had donuts, although we had donuts last night too, but that was a whole different thing. Ooh. My wife did some of the, shopping stuff last night. She had forgotten to pick up, lunch supplies for the children that are now, home from summer school.
Oh, and, yay.
It finally hit her yesterday. Oh, right. I don't have anything for their at home lunches because at school they have lunch at school. They eat the lunch at school.
Right.
Especially the one child in question who gets a slice of pizza at school every single day.
Ah.
Yeah, because he's one of his classes that he got to have this last year or when the kids all went back to school was a cooking class with the, get this, they actually have a real chef, like a fully like gone to culinary school.
Whoa.
Fully set up chef that
dude
works, that works at their school in their school cafeteria. This chef has been on, Food Network shows. Well, a Food Network show. Yeah.
This dude, is talk like,
I've,
about
I've watched
like
the show.
I would say talk about spoiled, but like I don't feel like that's appropriate to say. But I'll tell you what, like that's some shit we didn't have when we were kids. Like I know sounding old, but we had
I know a person who one of their careers earlier in their life when people our parents' age were teenagers and kids and whatnot. Their career was for a few years was as a cafeteria worker at a school. In fact, cafeteria worker at their kid's school, which is just like,
oh man,
the worst thing possible.
Oh,
which,
you,
by
you
the
show
way,
up at lunch in the never, cafeteria and mom is there making your food all the time.
Yes,
could be okay for. I don't know how many younger listeners we have here, but that just the concept of that is such an embarrassing moment. I feel for the kids whose mom worked the cafeteria at school. Oh God.
Yeah, even, she,
Oh, well, they got so picked on.
The thing is, she didn't understand then, and she still doesn't understand now.
Oh, they got so picked on.
How that would have been complete psychological torture.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She was just happy to be there working in the same place as her kids and getting to see her kids all the time. It's like I've told her before, you realize how bad that was for them? Why? They got to see me every day.
Yeah, and nobody else's parents were at that school. Like, it's like somebody who's it's funny because my sister is a principal and her husband is a teacher at an elementary school. And their kids go, I think their kids go to that elementary school. So
okay, but like for from kindergarten to like third grade, that's not so bad. But after third grade, it gets really bad. Yeah.
Fifth, sixth grade, man, that's a social death sentence.
Yes. Actually, funny enough, our internet guy, Rob, who we reference all the time on here.
Yeah.
His mom was actually the librarian at our high school. The upside was his mom was like way cooler than, and he'll even say this. He'll completely say this at that time. I haven't seen her in many years, so I can't comment as to her nature now, but at that time, his mom was cooler and probably had more friends than even he did. Cause he was kind of, you know, computer.
Right.
Geeky
right.
And nerdy. And so his mom was actually one of the cool adults at our school, but we also had a very, very small school. There's only like 50 kids in our high school. So it was a very, very small school.
Okay, yeah, that's a tiny school. Yeah.
So, I mean, the upside was he got to ride into school with his mom every day instead of having to do the hour-long bus ride the rest of us. So everybody was actually a little bit jealous of him because he got to have a, you know, he's sitting in the back seat of his mom's car, which is a fairly nice car. She had like a big Lincoln back then. And so he gets to ride in a nice cushy, you know, boat on the asphalt, basically up to school. We're all crammed into a bus for an hour long bus ride. His ride's like half an hour to get to
right.
school because the bus, you know, has to stop so many places and whatnot.
He's always on time. Like he's never late to school.
Well, we all kind of were because literally everybody had to take the bus because of how far away the school was from where we all lived.
Oh, you guys were out in like rural area, I'm sure. Like,
yeah, very, very. Where I lived as a teenager was a rural area to begin with, and then the school was like even more rural. I mean, it was we got snow in the wintertime, like the month of December.
Whoa.
We got snow at school. It was only like 3 or 4 inches, but
man,
we got snow.
I always hoped for a snow day at school. It never happened.
I never got a snow day.
I lived out in Sacramento. There was never a snow day. There was. Yeah, I don't even remember a day where school was shut down just because. Like the only time in school was shut down was when it was like a national holiday, I think.
Yeah, there's no weather in Sacramento that is going to cause a school to be shut down.
I take that back. There was there were days when it would rain so hard that the school would have to shut down because the school halls were flooded. And it wasn't inside. Like, all the school halls were outside, and then you had the classrooms that were inside. But, the school halls, like, basically the fields, the playground, and the rain. Yeah, that's when it would happen.
Which actually makes sense if you know anything about Northern California and Sacramento.
Yeah.
Sacramento is very much Northern California. It's the state capital. It's really, the especially the area surrounding it, is totally not like the larger metropolitan areas of California. I mean, Sacramento, for being a state capital, is kind of a flimsy state capital. San Francisco is a much larger metropolitan area. The Los Angeles area, the San Diego area, even much bigger metropolitan areas, much more suited, I think, for being kind of the leadership of a state. And Sacramento is very much not. It is a medium to I'd say medium big size city surrounded by a bunch of farming and nothing.
Yeah.
And that's about the best effort for people who don't know. So in Northern California, even something as you know, endemic to other places as rain is just like insanity. People completely forget how to drive. People completely forget how to function. Oh my God, it's raining. Now the upside is we are all used to what is happening currently in the Pacific Northwest that's driving everybody completely bonkers up there, which is temperatures over 100 degrees. You see all the news reports out of Seattle where it's, 110 degrees. It's breaking all the records. Up in Canada where they're like, what is this? How does this happen?
Yeah.
We've never been this hot before. Is this what it's like in America? That's why we don't like you. It's insane in all those places, and people here in the North Valley of California are just kind of going, yeah.
And we've been dealing with that shit for years. What are you talking about? We told you it was going to be bad. We told you.
And I mean, it's like 110 degree temperatures. Yeah. You know what happens on those days? We still go out and watch fireworks displays in 110 degree temperatures. Why?
Because 110, we're drinking beer on the river, damn it. Like, that's,
yes,
yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's what we do here, because that's how it is. So yeah, extreme heat,
swim weather, let's go.
That's just life. If it's if it's the middle of July and it's 90 degrees, like, wow, it's pretty refreshing today. That's how it is,
dude. Here. That's a good day. If it's in the 90s in July, that's a really good day.
Yeah, you're happy for that. I mean, it's been 20 years now. I got married at the end of July, and I am so glad that the building that we got married in had air conditioning. There was a thought that the air conditioning might not be working, and we almost canceled the wedding. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that portion.
Yeah, I remember it was like some bad. It was kind of nail biting for the last few hours.
And then it worked, and it was fine, because I was in a full tuxedo and there were multiple people in full tuxedos, and people were all dressed up nice, because it was kind of a mixture of it didn't go white trashy, but it was definitely a mixture of kind of lower class, middle class kind of wedding scenario, in that everybody was dressed really nice, but the food we served was freaking cold cuts and sandwich stuff and fruit and soda out of 2-liter bottles from Walmart, the Walmart store brand of 2-liter bottles of soda, and a shit ton of bottles of apple cider, Martinelli's apple cider. One, my wife wasn't actually old enough to legally drink alcohol, and two, my parents weren't real big drinkers, so they weren't going to be supplying everybody with a bunch of alcohol. There's legal implications behind it, but that's a whole different story.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. If the air conditioner wasn't working in that building, there was no way in hell I was doing an outdoor wedding. No way in hell. Let me tell you right now, do not try to do an outdoor wedding in Northern California unless you're willing to not be formal looking and you're telling people, wear shorts and whatnot. The thing is, the beach in California, whole different thing, because it's like 20 degrees cooler when you get to the coast. When you get inland into the valley area, it is not cool. It is scorching hot. There is very little rain, and it is miserable during the summertime unless you're wearing as little clothing as humanly possible.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, of course, I've been going out to do job interviews in this kind of weather, having to wear long sleeve shirts and pants when I normally don't like to do any of that. And so I hate it all. But anyway,
the discomfort is compounded.
The next two job interviews that I have set up for the coming week.
Yeah.
I have one set up. I'll give this away to the listeners. I have one set up on the 7th and one set up on the 9th. And I scheduled both of those for morning. So one of them,
good call, because I think it's supposed to hit like 102 and 104 on those days or something like that out here.
Yeah. One of them is at 9 o'clock in the morning and one of them is at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Get it the hell out of the way.
I'm taking the best car in the household that has the best air conditioning.
Yep.
So that I can, because the last one I had was a 2 o'clock interview, and it was awful. I was sweating so much just driving to the interview.
I can imagine.
When I got inside the building, it was fine. But like, I was interviewing with two other people, and here's the thing, man. Here's part of the times when oftentimes when it comes to jobs, the pendulum of injustice and unfairness swings in the direction of women, in the sense that men are still to this day more likely to get hired into a lot of jobs. Men are still respected more in business. We still have this misogynistic mindset that we have not been able to eradicate. We've done a little better in a lot of industries, but yeah, some industries
we're working
no
on
work
it.
Is has accomplished. And yeah, we're moving forward, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, for but, sure. We've got a long but, way to go. But yes, please continue.
But there is a place where it swings to be a bit of an injustice for men. Whoa. In the scenario, and that's when it comes to professional business attire,
the requirement of a shirt and tie.
Here's the deal, man. For professional business attire for men, yeah, shirt and a tie and pants are considered the professional business attire. But a woman can wear a skirt that goes down to her knees, a skirt, so it's airy. It lets some circulation flow through, and she can wear a sleeveless shirt. As long as it is a professional looking sleeveless shirt, you know, doesn't show too much cleavage, tight in the armpit area. You know, that's you know what I'm talking about, right? The skirt, the shirt, that's a professional look, right?
In theory, it depends. I mean, I know what you mean. I'm not going to lean entirely into it. Like, I'm not going to lean entirely into that. I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, but for an interview, that can be considered almost appropriate dress.
And essentially, so, yes. Like, you don't have to dress up like you're Amish at a job interview. Like, for most just, women, don't I, have to do that. Like, well, we can I'm keep sitting, it at that, I guess.
I'm sitting across in an interview thinking to myself, damn, I wish I could wear a skirt to an interview. That would be awesome. And I would.
Dude, you would rock a kilt? Yeah. You could still rock. I could see you rocking like a sleeveless button down with a tie still and a kilt.
I would totally do that.
Yeah, yeah. Throw a nice hat on top of that and you're set.
Of course, I wouldn't have shaved the beard off into the goatee and Van Dyke setup, but
you would have like you would confuse people. People would be like, "What? Irish, what Scottish Nordic thing are you?" And your answer would be yes.
All of it, actually. All of it.
Yeah.
I see there's some Swedish in there. There's some Irish in there. Yeah, it's all a part of it right in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Throw on an Elmer Fudd biking helmet, probably, and you're set.
I'm probably the child of somebody who invaded Northern Britain at some point or another and captured some women and
dude, I want to see somebody dressed like that for a job interview. I want to see that. I want to see that kind of a job interview.
This is
a professional job interview where people like go all out like that and be like that shows the character that you can be.
I would even have gotten the beard long enough to do like a full braiding of the beard.
Yeah.
And be like, you know, this. Yeah, you want somebody to go all in. I'm going all in.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I always wanted to own my own company is just to be able to do like a big hiring event, and just to see the various people that would come in to do it. And I honestly say I would pick some of the craziest looking people, just because like if you have the confidence to rock that,
right?
I kind of want you working for me.
Yeah.
I kind of want you to be a part of this because, you know, I
there's
I would
a personality
want
in that, you know?
Eclectic. Exactly.
But yeah. Anyway,
we're straying from the point again, which, of course, is what today is. We always do this. But today, of course, is the 4th of July. And it won't be when you listen. It'll be the 5th of July. So you will be scrolling through your Facebook page. Notice that we've put out the podcast. And then you will see all of the posts of, has anybody seen my dog? It escaped last night.
Oh,
lost dog found. You'll see all these posts going from all, depending on how many pet sites you're connected
to.
That's
quick. Yeah.
You will see all of these posts. Yeah, I went from like, hey, let's talk about people with personality to, hey, people lost their dogs. Why did they lose their dogs? Because they're stupid. And see, here's the fun part about this, for me anyway. I've already seen some of these posts starting.
Because people are starting to line up.
Not those ones. The pre-4th of July ones where, does anybody have any suggestions on what I can do for my dog? Because they've escaped the last 3 4th of Julys. Guess what, buddy? I have a suggestion for you. Would you like to hear my suggestion? Here it is. Stay the fuck home and take care of your pets instead of locking them in your backyard and going and cavorting like an idiot watching tiny explosions because I need to be patriotic. You want to be patriotic? Eat some Spam. Don't abandon your damn pet to have it go nuts listening to all these loud explosions that it does not understand. And then it's seeking comfort. And where are you? not there, because you need to go see those little explosions.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you need to celebrate shit.
The first thing that dog thinks is that it's out on its own and it is fending for itself and it's just trying to be alive. And those things scare the living. Dude, fireworks scare the living piss out of pets. Like,
they scare people.
Yeah.
If they're gonna scare people, they're definitely gonna scare pets. And let's talk about the other side of that here. Let's talk about the other side. This is something that's becoming more being brought more to light recently, which I'm glad for. Because it's one of those things where people love to talk about how much they respect our combat veterans and our military personnel. They love to talk about this. They love to push it. Of course, they push it on the wrong holidays, which is something that we've discussed.
We've pushed that, but we have had that.
But here's the thing. For a number of combat veterans, this can also be just as scary a day as it is for your pets.
Yeah.
Because some of these sounds, and especially in neighborhood locales, can trigger some of the experiences, the memories of the experiences they may have had in areas of conflict while they were serving. It is sometimes within the walls of cities, and they're hearing various things going on and have to worry about their lives. They have barracks that have exploded and seen their friends.
To drive the point so far home, because that is jarring imagery to think about for anybody who has not had that experience. And I also don't necessarily want to bring that up for people that have had that experience to be reminded on it from here. But I would, if we can kind of leave a smaller synopsis, if we could thumbnail it there.
The point being, these sounds can make them remember back when they were actually out serving our country.
Yes.
And it can cause a lot of emotional distress for them.
Yes.
And this is something that is recently being brought to light and trying to have people be a little bit more understanding of it. But the problem is, it just seems like the majority of the population just doesn't think that's important enough. The pets that may be affected, the people that may be affected. Let's also include, by the way, any people that have any kind of sensory issues, any people that have any disorders, like diagnosed things like autism, for instance, or any sensory disorder, where loud noises can be a trigger for them.
Yeah,
this is something that there are people that not only just don't like fireworks, like me. I'm just a curmudgeonly young old person, because I'm not that old yet. I will be older soon, but I'm not that old yet. I just don't like fireworks. But there are people who are seriously terrified of them.
Yeah.
And I think that I sadly think that we're still in a place where people's desire to see little explosions is more important to them than the comfort and well-being of their fellow citizens and the pets that those citizens, sometimes even the pets that they themselves consider part of their families. You know what I mean?
And yeah, exactly.
So this is part of the frustration of the day. I think now's a pretty good time. We're going to take, I want to let people know ahead of time, we're going to try to have this episode be a little bit shorter, because it is technically a holiday. I know that I have prep. I have to do prep to keep my household sane during this holiday, because again, we're not necessarily big fireworks fans.
Yeah.
But we're trying to keep this show a little bit shorter than we normally do. So I think we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about kind of the reason why 4th of July is always this issue. But I believe this year is going to be bigger and louder than any 4th of July previously. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. All right?
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening. And now back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Hello.
So we just had a little discussion during the break.
Yeah.
And we decided, even though I said earlier in the podcast that you'll be listening to this on the 5th, guess what, everybody? You're not going to be listening to this on the 5th. In fact, you'll hear that in the first part of the podcast.
Yeah.
What? Because we discussed it and Mike came up with the fantastic idea that this is something that actually should come out today. So if you've lasted this long and been wondering, why did he say that it's coming out on the 5th when it came out today on the 4th? This is why. Originally, that was the plan. But as things develop, here's the beauty of it. When things change, we've gone over this before. This is going back to an old theme about the way society changes and our viewpoints change and mm-hmm. things that are acceptable change. And so we have to alter our perception. Mm-hmm. As the first part of this podcast came through, it became apparent in Mike's mind that this would be better served to come out on Sunday. Am I right? I'm kind of speaking for you, but I'm right in this.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's exactly what we were talking about. I think that being that we're talking about all of this stuff in a preemptive level and we're kind of making slight predictions on stuff, having it come out the day after the 4th is just kind of not a good idea, I don't think. You know, so anybody that maybe, just maybe, possibly might listen to it, I don't know, on the day, that maybe it'll help them, you know? Maybe it'll help them be more considerate because we're talking about so much that people go through at this time, people and pets and everything else. Like, we're trying to help. Maybe this will help in some level of preventative maintenance, you know?
Maybe. By the way, sir, I want to add something. You can edit this part out, but I totally lost you. And then like you came back and did a whole bunch of like really quick talking. And I said a few things during that. I don't know if you have to edit my part out or not, but it was weird.
That's an internet drop that happens every once in a while. I'll talk about that. We, obviously James is remote. you should be able to hear that by now. So we hear digital breakups. Yeah. Sometimes that happens. I try to edit him around in post. So my connection to you is dropping and then coming back in and getting rebuffered. That's why you're hearing.
It was really weird. I just wanted to let you know in case you can keep all this in because this is fun things for people to know.
Yeah.
But in case you needed in case you wanted to look it over, like it was a little bit weird. But anyway, I'm gonna say I agree with everything that you said, even though I don't remember it because it came really, really quickly. You don't have to repeat it. I'm just gonna agree because we already talked about it during the break.
Yeah.
So anyway, the premise that I ended the first half of this with was the idea that this is going to be, I believe, the biggest and loudest 4th of July in the longest time.
It's the most America 4th. That
yes,
could have
the
America.
Most America.
Yes.
Exactly. Except, of course, people still don't know that they need to have their spam. It's sad.
This is true.
And it's something that,
again,
I mean, I hope to bring out to the masses at some point.
We do need need to raise spam awareness. This is true.
We do. We do need to raise awareness in it. But anyway, and the reason for this should be evident, but I'm still going to spell it out because sometimes I've learned sometimes here in this country, we need things spelled out as clearly as humanly possible. That's why we have to have warnings on like the bottle of bleach that you're not supposed to drink this. Or we had to have an entire campaign saying, do not eat Tide Pods. Or another campaign saying, don't ingest, Lysol because it's not good for you and it won't help kill viruses inside you. It'll just, I mean, it will technically, because it'll kill you, so then the virus has nowhere to be. So we need to have these. So I'm spelling this out. This is going to be the biggest 4th of July because this is the first truly major holiday in America since majority of the COVID restrictions have been released, since people have been able to. And I can tell you right now, I've been at the store for the last 2 weeks and in California, I believe it was June 15th that everything kind of got, pulled back.
Yeah. That's when everybody called it reopening weekend.
Yeah. If you've been vaccinated, then you can go without a mask in public. And then like everybody was without a mask in public. And you start wondering, okay. Like I know that vaccine numbers are decent.
Yeah.
But have all of these people actually received both vaccines, both doses of the vaccine? And here's the thing, probably not.
Oh yeah.
But the thing is you can't legally ask people if they received the vaccine or not. That's against the law to ask.
Well, you're talking personal medical information. I think that we're starting to so in California, I don't know if this is a CDC thing. I doubt it. But in California, they did allow and certify employers to do that, to ask and ask for proof. People have obviously responded to that, not necessarily in a hostile format. Like, the place where I work was just like, are we going to go that route? Like, are we going to cause that kind of trouble? So most places aren't, because it's kind of a big deal. I think the only place I think might be really adamant about it are like airlines, because that makes sense. And there are other things that have happened. Like, the Foo Fighters played Madison Square Garden to a fully vaccinated crowd that was proven to be vaccinated.
But there's a difference. There's a difference in that.
Yeah.
In that, going to a concert is there's a different voluntary aspect to that,
right?
Than even going into a grocery store or out in general public.
Yeah,
that's a whole different thing. So you can make certain requirements on things like that that you can't necessarily make for just roaming around normal public spaces.
This also doesn't help. Yeah. That it also doesn't help that the regulations and the requirements keep bouncing around all the time. Every single day there's a new thing. Like, I think it went for 4 or 5 days where reopening kicked in, and then something else happened where, like, okay, well, now employers can ask for people for proof, but people don't have to provide the proof itself. But if it's proven that they were the source of getting someone else sick, the responsibility doesn't fall on the employer. It falls on the employee that lied about their vaccination status. And how the hell do you prove that? There's no way to prove that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, this is an airborne virus. It's not like you can see it in the fucking air. So that's not a thing. But it's just like these regulations that are meant to... It's the way that it's being treated is so amoebic. This is the conflict that comes with this. This is a conflict that comes with personal autonomy and freedom. Like, you need to be able to exercise that while still being able to be considerate. And this is the conflict that you run into with this kind of a governmental system. Yeah.
There's a balance that has to happen between personal freedoms and the safety and security of the population at large.
Yeah, so you can't.
And that's a very difficult balance.
Exactly. So you can't ask those things. And now other things are changing. Where I think it was last week or the week before, where it's like, well, now I think it was just recently the CDC, because there's a new variant of the virus that spreads extremely easily. It has proven to be more. To be easier to spread among the unvaccinated, like fully unvaccinated. It spreads faster and it spreads easier among the unvaccinated. They found this out, but now it's gotten so much to the point.
This is the Delta variant.
Yeah,
right?
We're talking about the Delta variant. So the Delta variant now is spreading in places where it's overwhelming multiple countries. Japan's healthcare system is getting overwhelmed. Almost half of the from what I saw, there were news reports that half of the new Delta cases in India that are positive are from fully vaccinated people. But that's because the potency is high, because people are not vaccinating themselves. So we're starting to see this. And it turns out that a lot of the time, like, we watched all of this happen worldwide spread, right? And then the United States hit it. We watched Italy, we watched India, we watched Japan, we watched everybody react to this in a different way, and then it just kicked off in the United States. It was like one of the last places where it just exploded, and we had all these examples of what was going to happen, and then it hit us over a slower, it hit us more potently over a longer amount of time, it almost seems. But we've got this Delta variant is coming in, and it's here. Yeah.
It's here.
It is here. It is spreading. It's happening.
There's confirmed cases. There's confirmed cases in the county that I live in. I've gotten for that. And, of course, in the most expected place in the United States, it is running rampant. Absolutely rampant already.
Yeah.
You know where that's at, right?
Florida or Texas?
Exactly. The first one was right. Where's the crazy going to happen in the United States? It's going to happen in Florida.
Yeah.
Everything crazy happens in Florida.
Dude, I would say I feel for Florida right now, because let's be honest. The building collapse there's a lot of innocent people that are very affected by that, and it is not their fault. It is absolutely not their fault to be living in a building when they that may be the only choice place they have. So, like, honestly, like, I hope that things turn out better than it may. And that sucks. Like, that really sucks. But at the same time, you're looking at everything else that's been going on. I don't want to necessarily get all morbid, big picture stuff. Oh, let's go back to what I was talking about earlier. One of the things that's changed with the mask stuff is, like, I think I spent like a week being able to go to work, and I work in a warehouse area by myself without a mask on. There's nobody back there, and if I talk to somebody, I got a mask on. But now I live with my mask on in that building because of the contact that I have with people, which is minimal, but I don't go anywhere without a mask on, and I'm fully vaccinated because now it's being recommended. Hey guys, it's here. Like, it's funny because there's supposed to be three waves normally of a virus. It's a third wave in every other country. It's a fourth wave here because of the reopening that we did, not in California, but overall, when we started reopening as a country, we got a third wave.
And I know you know, but we haven't had a podcast since it happened.
Yeah.
I've received the first dose of the vaccine, and I will be getting the second dose later here in the month of July.
Good.
Sadly for me, I was suffered basically all of the flu-like symptoms that they tell you may possibly happen as a side effect of the vaccine. I was sick for 5 days.
Okay.
I felt awful. My whole body hurts.
So you're already not thinking of the concept again. You already don't want to get the other one. But it's not a thing you want to do.
It
must be done.
No,
right?
I do. I do want to get the other one.
Oh, good.
I do want to get the other one. Because
when I say that, it's like you don't want to have the experience, right? Like
here's the thing. I did feel awful. My arm hurt from not necessarily from the injection site, because it didn't hurt when I actually got the shot, but the arm ached afterwards. It was in my right arm, whole right side of my body ached for like 4 or 5 days afterwards.
Yeah.
I had massive headaches. I felt the flu-like symptoms of just feeling under the weather.
Yeah.
You know, stomach upset, all those things. I had one day where I woke up at like 3 a.m. and both orifices were wanting to release as much as they possibly could.
Oh man. You got the good ride.
Oh yes, I did. And it was, like I said, it was about 4 or 5 days ago. But here's the thing that I'm logical enough to understand.
Yeah.
I did feel like garbage, but I was also able to do all of my, I wouldn't say all, but most of my normal everyday activities, just feeling like garbage doing them. Here's the thing about that. If that's the side, that's the side effect that you get from getting the vaccine. That's a whole lot better than what could possibly happen from getting the virus and it running its course in you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any moment where I needed to be hospitalized. I didn't have any moment where I couldn't breathe. I didn't have any of these other things. So I had the not the bad reaction, but I had one of the not as pleasant reactions to the vaccine.
Yeah.
But I would take that, knowing that was a reaction, knowing that it would probably last a few days and then see how things were after. I felt like crap. But I would take that over 100 times over having to deal with a positive test for the virus and wondering what more it would do to me and how much worse that would be. So I am more than eager for the second vaccine. But here's the thing. I've gotten the first vaccine, and funny enough, my wife went and got the first vaccine the very next day after me. Uh-huh. I did mine, by the way, at my doctor's office. She did hers at Walmart.
That's great. I got mine at a CVS.
And here's it was the day after mine. I was at that point, I was just in the arm sore situation. All the other stuff hadn't fully set in. And I'm like, I'm pretty much okay. Just my arm is sore.
Yeah.
And then we heard over the loudspeaker, there's no waiting for the COVID vaccines right now. You can walk right up and get one. And I looked at my wife and I'm like, well, go get your vaccine
today. Yeah.
Cause her thing was she wanted me to get it first. And if I didn't die, then she would consider getting it. Cause I'm the guinea pig for the household.
Okay.
And so she was like, kind of eyed me up and down, like, all right, you're still walking around. So your arm hurts, right? Yeah, my arm hurts. All right, fine, I'll go get it. No, here's the shit part of it. Okay. Here's the shit part of it. She gets hers the day after me.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
She ends up with one day with like a headache and one day with her arm sore, and that's it. No other symptoms from it.
I didn't even get a headache with
mine. No real reaction to it.
I just like I felt a little sniffly. I felt tired. I went right to sleep. Like that's all I did was I slept that day. I made sure that I took 2 days off and I slept.
It's just like, really? That's your reaction to it? God. But anyway, and she's scheduled to take her second one. But here's the thing. We've talked about it. We talked about it even when we got it. Part of my reason I got it when I did was, again, the time has come. Mm-hmm. I've seen enough things to know that it's not necessarily going to kill me instantly. Enough people have gotten it. And the other side of it was, even though employers aren't necessarily supposed to be able to ask about it, if I was able to drop into commentary while I'm doing my interviews that I've already gotten my first shot and I'm waiting for my second shot, like to say, oh yeah, I can start on such and such day, but I need this day off so I can get my second COVID shot, you know, reveal the information without doing it too forcefully. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Uh-huh.
Just, you know what I'm talking about. That could possibly make me more appealing to prospective employers. Like, oh, because I'm going to work in a medical field. Admittedly, the back end of a medical field, I'm not necessarily always working with patients, although there's some of the jobs I've applied to do have a working with patients component.
Right.
But still, it's still in a medical facility that I'm going to be working or the working. So for them to know that, oh, he's already done his first vaccine, he's got the second one coming up, that might make me more appealing as a hire. They're not supposed to judge on that, but you know they do. So,
well, there are places, there are medical facilities that actually require this. There are medical facilities that are starting to require it. There was a Supreme Court case, wasn't there, that just came out with a bunch of employees, I think former hospital employees. We're talking hospital. They work in the hospital with sick people, and they're refusing to get the vaccine. And
which is just
it was like a workers union. They're like, no, guys, this is a health crisis right now. You need the vaccine. That employer can require that from you. They're a hospital, you idiots. And it's been blown up and this big thing. And I thought it was a Supreme Court case. I don't know if it was a state Supreme Court that held it up, but it was.
I'm not sure.
I can't quite fully remember it right now, but I do know that that has been held up, and that right there opened up so much more. So there are places, especially in the medical community right now, that are requiring this because it's the medical community. Does anybody remember taking a look at what happened with fucking polio? The same shit went down.
Well, and like I've said on here before, and even had discussions with this at the various schools that my kids go to. It would not surprise me if within the next year or two, there is a rollout of new laws and regulations about needing vaccines for COVID-19 before kids are able to be enrolled in school and doing it through the school system. They did that with polio.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if a similar thing. But anyway.
Yeah.
The point I was getting to was,
I know we got way off tangent.
this is important because this has to do with why 4th of July is going to be as big as it is. Even though I've had my first shot and I'm going to be getting the second shot, my wife and I discussed it. Even though we got the shots, we are still planning on, even after the second shot, continuing to wear our masks in public for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
we do
same
not
here.
Foresee a moment in time
yes.
where we're not going to do this, because our thought frame is there are so many people that look at it as somebody I was talking to recently, who, funny enough, was on their way to go to a trip to Florida to visit their family of all places. My comment was, really, why would you want to go to Florida? Why wouldn't I want to go to Florida? Who wants to stay here? My family visited me here in California, and they were just like, I feel like I'm in prison having to wear masks everywhere. Florida repealed their stuff a long time ago. Yeah, guess what's happened now, Florida?
Yeah, exactly.
You have the Delta variant running rampant because you repealed it. And that's the problem is, that's what people feel like. People have felt for the last year having to wear masks in public. And you can easily find on Facebook, YouTube, wherever they have videos of people doing stupid shit in public, you have these people that are that are screaming and yelling about their freedoms because they are told by a worker somewhere that they can't come into a place without having a mask. I've seen it. I was standing waiting for an order at Panda Express. A driver for one of the various delivery services, you know, the DoorDashes, the whatever. I don't know what specific service it was. And even if I did, I'm not going to call out the service because it was just a specific person.
Yeah.
But the person came in, no mask, trying to get the food at Panda, and the Panda Express workers were like, no, I'm sorry, you need to go back out, put a mask on before we can give you the food. I'm just picking up an online order for somebody to deliver to them. I understand that, but you have to go back outside. You can't be in here without a mask on. I can't believe this. And it's like,
oh, you can't? You can't? Believe it? It's right in front of you. Literally everyone else in this building right now has a mask on, dude.
Exactly.
That's exactly what know what's really funny is...
But the last...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Please continue. You weren't done.
You're right. At that time, everybody did have a mask on.
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks, no. I've gone all over the place. I've gone.
Yeah.
I've gone to stores in the Sacramento area. I've gone to stores up in the Marysville, Yuba City area. These are areas of Northern California who don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Sacramento, Marysville, Yuba City is just kind of an eyesore, about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour north of Sacramento. Is that a good description?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
For the last 2 weeks, I've been to stores all over the Northern California area. All these various areas, Marysville, Yuba City area,
yeah,
all over the place. 80-90% of the people walking around in these stores, no masks on their face, none whatsoever. And 80-90% of the population has not been vaccinated yet. We know that. The numbers aren't there yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
80-90% of the people are not wearing masks because the thing. Again, you're not supposed to ask, you're not supposed to force. So when the repeal came out June 15th, masks are gone. And as a result with this from June 15th on, the biggest holiday coming up, it's always a huge holiday in the United States, but now it's bigger, July 4th, and it's Independence Day. And this is the thought frame that so many of these people have. They finally have the freedom to go to their families' houses. They finally have the freedom to not feel like they're in prison wearing a mask anymore.
Yep.
And so the stores have been packed with people buying every barbecue item they possibly can, because that's what you do. Buying as much beer as they possibly can, and
yep,
soda and ice.
Yep.
Stopping at and clogging up parking lots where the stupid, stupid shacks, wooden shacks. Why would you have fireworks in a wooden shack? That's just cause for alarm. Anyway, where these shacks,
nice sidebar,
shacks
that was
set
good
up to sell fireworks willy-nilly to anybody that wants to create little tiny explosions. And guess what? I was parked.
The first thing I'm thinking of is, like, there's a carny on every street corner.
What? There is. I'm sitting on Friday. I'm sitting in a park with my oldest son. We had some I picked him up from his last day of summer school, and we're having some lunch. He even got to pick the restaurant. Good boy, he picked Subway. There wasn't much to pick in the area we were at. There was, like, Subway, Taco Bell, and a hamburger place, and he wanted Subway. So we went to Subway. We got our sandwiches. Not an endorsement for Subway, by the way, unless they want to kick us some money. Then I'll take it.
You know what? I really like the fact that you haven't, the only one that you haven't done that with, like, when you're talking about kicking back on endorsements,
yeah,
is Spam. That's the only one so far. That is the only one where we haven't asked for an endorsement from Spam, but damn it, we will talk about Spam without prejudice. I love it.
I Spam does not need to give us any endorsement money for me to talk about Spam. I love it too much. The thing is, Mike, I literally eat, admittedly, it's the turkey Spam because it's the healthy one and I'm trying to be healthy. I've been working very hard on my weight loss
journey. I couldn't find the turkey Spam at my Target. I actually had to get the low sodium one. There's, like, the low fat one, which is cool. Like, I'm okay with
the low sodium. The low sodium isn't bad. The low sodium isn't bad.
Yeah, it's decent.
But
I do really want to try turkey Spam.
I literally eat the turkey Spam every single day for breakfast. So
fantastic.
If Spam wants to give us anything, I would be more than gracious to accept, but I will not demand it of them. I just love that their product is still there and I can consume it on a daily basis. basis. I have more respect for that product than almost any other we talk about on.
Anyway, you heard it here, folks. James fully endorses spam without any requirement.
Without any requirement whatsoever.
Yes, he is full faith in turkey spam.
It's turkey spam, but spam in general. It's an amazing product. But anyway, we're sitting there eating our sandwiches. We're sitting kind of in a park because we looked for a shady space to sit because I didn't want to sit in the restaurant and try to eat. You could if you wanted to, but Subways are usually very small. There's nobody else sitting in there. But I was like, no, we're going to get our food. We're going to go in our vehicle and go find a shady spot to sit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite in the heat of the day yet. It was only about 85 out. So we found a shady spot to sit in. We're eating our sandwiches. And in the place that we were at, there's roads that lead to a campground area. And I kid you not, two different parades of with five vehicles in each parade. So 10 vehicles total. Big, huge, gigantic trucks. Like, still like the trucks you find on the road, but mm-hmm. these are the ones that are like... There's people that buy a truck to have a truck to use as a truck. And there's people that buy a truck to have as a status symbol thing to make up for whatever else they're insufficient in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the ones I'm talking about are the ones that are like that are somewhat lifted off the ground. They're like the big diesel ones when there's no need for that person to have a diesel truck at all. And they have, you know, all these different bells and whistles on them because, you know, that's they don't really use a truck as a truck to haul shit and do things with.
Yeah.
They use the truck as the status symbol. The only thing they haul with it is their gigantic fifth wheel. And that's what I saw is one group, five trucks with these 27 to 30 foot long fifth wheels trailing behind them. Five trucks go by with these.
That's
five
hilarious.
Trucks with towing fifth wheels. And then
that's funny.
7 to 10 minutes later, another five trucks, and they're all headed towards this one campground. And I'm like, "Jeez."
You know, my favorite part of that is realize. My favorite part of realizing it is every one of those types of trucks I've seen. I have never seen a truck of that type, of that status, that has ever seen mud. You ever notice that?
They've never seen mud. They've never seen work.
Yeah.
They've never seen work.
Yeah.
It's like
you have all of that capability. You have all of that power there, and you don't even use it.
I remember getting into a truck one time. It was a newer truck that somebody's given me a ride to go change a tire on one of my vehicles. And I hop in this truck, and it's all like plushy and comfortable and all this, and there's no dirt anywhere, there's no scratches on any part of it. And I'm like, why'd you buy a truck? Because I wanted a truck. Okay, so you're going to be hauling stuff? No, I just wanted a truck. Why'd you buy a truck? We have a truck in our household. We have a truck that's part of the household. You've seen the truck. I drive the truck.
Yeah.
I've been asked before if I wanted to upgrade to a newer truck, and I'm like, no. I'll just spend like, you know, $6,000 to $8,000 to put a new motor in this one when the motor dies on this one.
Yeah.
So it's sitting at 250,000 miles already, so it'll die at some point. But I can put a new motor and new transmission in this thing because it's only a two-wheel drive. We don't live in the snow. I don't do any mudding, so I don't need a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Right.
That's just a waste of it's a waste of things to have a four-wheel drive if you don't need it for a purpose. A new engine and transmission already put together that can just be basically popped into the truck runs like $8,000 to buy it and to have it put in by somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll spend the $8,000 to do that. It's a truck. Well, it's beat up. It's scratched and the interior's coming apart and whatnot. I'm like, I don't care.
It's a truck.
That's not my purpose. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a truck.
It's the thing that I'm going to pile a bunch of crap in when I want to move shit. And I don't want to worry about scratching anything or putting dents in anything or whatever. It's a utility vehicle.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not against people having nice cars and keeping up their cars. I'm not against people having comfortable trucks, but I'll tell you what, man, like I feel like if you're going to get something that's capable of that kind of stuff, use it for that job. Right. Like
don't put a
fat diesel piece and you're off roading it and you're using it the way that you need to, you're hauling shit.
Hey.
Good for you. Good for you. You can do that.
If you use it as your daily driver to go to your office job and that's all it ever does, You got that so people can see you in it.
Yeah.
You didn't get that.
If your purpose is to make sure that you take up two or three parking spaces at a Walmart or at your job, you're just a dick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw these two different parades of trucks going. We live in an area that has north of Sacramento that has a lot of gateways to various camping facilities. And for the last 3 days, going into the town of Marysville, which is a town that we live near, just to give you an understanding, Mike, most people won't understand this because they don't know the geography. But the freeway going into Marysville, Highway 70 going into Marysville, for the last 3 days has been backed up to Earl Road almost nonstop.
Oh, my goodness. That's really far.
That's about a mile backup.
Yeah. Earl is just like, you don't even see, like, to describe this, there is a bridge that goes into Marysville when you head north. Yes. Earl Road is far before that bridge. So
about a mile before the bridge.
So if you're seeing backup, that's almost at the split, isn't it? The split from 70-65?
The split's another half mile back, but yeah, that's pretty
okay,
close.
Yeah, so it's right there next to the split, and then you have Earl Road, and then there's a bridge, and then as you come up over the bridge, you actually see the town of Marysville. Like you see a couple of gas stations and stuff, and there's like a little bit of rural area on one side. But then as you come over that bridge, then you see the city of Marysville, all the buildings, all the kind of stuff. It's actually, like, to be completely honest, like, it's not the best conditioned town, but it is kind of cool to see it coming in. It's kind of got this old town sack kind of feel when you go over the bridge. So that's actually
it does have a nice reveal. But the thing is, if you're
backed up before you even hit the bridge, dude, that's a long backup, because that street goes all the way before the turn. You're talking it's backed up all the way up to the turn into Yuba?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's backed up. Now, here's the thing. Now, it does that at between 5 and 7 o'clock at night, and then between like 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning. It does that anyway.
Oh yeah.
Because it is a choke point.
Yeah.
But it's been that way nonstop for the last 3 days.
Good
nonstop.
Gravy.
And again, this is the thing. This is Independence Day. Mm-hmm. This is people feeling like we finally have our freedom and independence from all of the harshness and of this last year of COVID. And here's the thing, man. I get it. I get that people didn't like having to restrain how often they went out. I get that people didn't necessarily always like wearing a mask. Hell, part of the reason I ended up shaving, which I never did. I never have posted pictures of it, but yes, everybody, the beard is gone. I have much less facial hair. I stopped by Mike's job and got to show him.
Yeah.
And he knew it had happened. I even said, send him a picture. It was still, I'm sure, shocking to see in person. And
it was pretty crazy. It's Blockbuster Goatee James.
Yes,
I remember that, those days.
Long time ago. It's part of the reason was to be more marketable for job search. But another part of it was a bitch and a half to wear a mask with that damn beard.
Yeah, that's true.
And I get it. I get the frustration of it. But at the same time, this is one of those examples of why we need some rules, why we need some laws, and why we need some guidelines for things. Because when we're given any kind of lead, any kind of rope, we as a society are going to end up hanging ourselves. And that's what's going to happen today. That's why Mike kind of wants this to come out today, because it needs to be heard today. Y'all need to be prepared. People are going to be their craziest today because they're celebrating not just this country's independence, but they feel it is their celebration of independence where they can finally go back to doing all the free things that they think have been taken away from them for the last year.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it isn't about what's been taken away from you for the last year. It's about sacrifices that you made for hopefully the betterment of your entire country instead of just your own personal stuff. It's about acting a little bit selfless for once in your godforsaken lives. And sadly, that's not how so many people saw the last year. People saw the last year as an inconvenience, as their freedom stripped away from them, as being almost in prison. They didn't see it as, I'm trying to help our country get through a crisis.
Yeah.
No, all they could see was the selfish side of it. So understand that. understand that this holiday and the celebration of this holiday, because that's the holiday itself is an important thing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We should acknowledge the fact that the day that, the founding fathers, who had, you know, stolen the land from a bunch of natives, decided they didn't want to live under the rule of somebody who lived all the way across, you know, another ocean. Of course, when other countries have wanted to have that same type of thing, like when, I don't know, some little Southeast Asian country decided they didn't want the French in control of them anymore, we couldn't let that happen. And so we sent a bunch of people into that country to get killed and get our asses handed to us in something that technically was not a war, even though it's called a war, because no declaration of war was ever officially done.
Really?
So it's actually a military conflict, not a or a military police action, not a war. It's a whole different story for a whole different time.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that that's what it was called, that, but the name war is in the name for it.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
War is inappropriate. Yeah. But anyway, the point being here, it's not the holiday that's bad. It's the way that it's chosen to be celebrated. And if you really think about it, the celebration for this, not caring about what effect it may have on other people, on pets, or the fact that, for instance, here in Northern California, we still didn't get we got a winter with still no rain, and so we're dry as hell everywhere, and high temperatures, winds, dry. Sure, let's light off explodey things and possibly have fire everywhere, because California hasn't burned enough in the last few years. Let's burn it some more, right? This is sadly the way that this holiday is celebrated. It's celebrated in what is, in my opinion, a extremely selfish fashion. And the fact is, when you have the selfish fashion of how this is normally done and add in these selfish thoughts of, we finally have our freedom from this year of prison that we've been in, not being able to see our families face to face, which, by the way, totally overrated. I've had more than enough family come and visit in the last 2 months. And I'm telling you right now, not only me, but finally I've brought my wife over to the dark side. She is at a point where she's like, you know what? It can be another year or two before we have family visit again.
The dark side.
Okay with that. Yes. Come to the dark side. We have cookies anyway.
yeah. If I could say something like,
no, you can't.
You paint.
I'm being selfish. I'm being selfish right now. Why? It's the day to be selfish. It's an American thing.
Fuck you too, pal.
Go ahead. What's your point?
My point essentially is the best thing that you could do at this time. I know. James paints a very not necessarily bleak picture on purpose, but it is that, because there's a lot of people that are going to be acting in a selfish manner. Right? Like, there's a lot of people that are going to be doing stuff. They're doing it in the name of American extremity. That's just kind of how things happen out here.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. That's we're very America out here. And that's just kind of what happens. But the best thing you could do, if you don't necessarily agree with that, and especially if you have a responsibility, if you own a pet, if you know or live with a veteran, the best thing that you could do is just be considerate of them and understand that they're going through a lot of issues, and that's what we started this entire conversation on. I would say,
just be there
to
support
your pets.
Be there,
make sure that they're comfortable. Yeah. Stay with them. You will end up keeping them, and they won't run away from your house. Don't just sit there and leave them in the backyard, because a lot of people do that shit. It's understandable that they're going to go through this. It's a traumatic experience for them. Just try to calm them. That's what I'm going to be doing. That's what James is going to be doing. Like,
that's what I spent my childhood doing. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I get that people feel that there's a little bit of that there's a little bit of a freedom in the, you know, from, again, what we've dealt with for a year. But people, restrain yourselves a little bit. Understand that with freedom comes responsibility. And understand, if you have these responsibilities, stick to the responsibilities, and you can celebrate. You can celebrate your holiday without having to necessarily have all the explodey things everywhere, and be prepared. Just be prepared. This year, going to be bigger, going to be louder. And hey, if it's your thing, fine, it's your thing. If it's not your thing, just be prepared for the fact that this is going to be much, much more than you've ever seen. Extreme. Good word to use.
Yeah.
Extreme.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we all make it through. So, Mike.
Yes.
Have we said what we needed to say?
I think so.
Good. Then where are people listening to us?
Well, you could be listening to us on our website, thezenchronicles.com, or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. It's a lot easier to type. Also, speaking of Zenchron, look for us on Twitter and on Facebook at Zenchron. That's our tagline. And if you're not listening to us on this website, you're listening to us basically anywhere that you can find a podcast. And we're always looking to try to expand and find more places to get the podcast itself on audio, so it's easy for everybody. But there's a central place that you should be listening to us right now. I think so anyways. And if you're not listening to us there or watching us, go to our YouTube channel. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure that you like this video, because it's going to be a video on YouTube. And that way you'll get notified. No, I'm sorry. Boy, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Stealing my shit again.
I'm not. I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
So selfish.
I didn't say it.
It's the right day for you to be selfish.
I'm going to leave it to you. I'm going to leave it to you to say. But first, let me say that order right the next. Let me actually get that order right. So make sure you like the video if you're watching this video on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you like what you're listening to. And there's that one more thing, sir, that I'm leaving for you. And what would that be?
You clicked the bell. I wish this. Okay, I'm going to say it again so it's clear. Click the bell
yes.
to get notified. But I just want to say right now, I cannot wait until we get the appropriate internet connection that we need so we can actually give you true video versions of the podcast.
Yeah, we are looking forward to that.
This would have just been a great moment of me just laughing and covering my mouth so that the laughter didn't come through so Mike could attempt to do the spiel again. And I was just eyes closed, mouth covered, just kind of shaking, laughing. Anyway, yes. Click that bell so you get notified every time that we put out a new video. For instance, if you hadn't clicked the bell, you wouldn't be notified that this is coming out on Sunday the 4th instead of on Monday, which has become our new day to release things. So you wouldn't know. So you'd just be going through your day on the 4th, have no idea, go to check on Monday, be like, oh shit, I missed it yesterday. Maybe there was a reason I needed to hear it yesterday. There was a reason. That's why we put it out.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what that bell's that about, bell
so
man.
You can be notified. Yes, you need to be notified whenever the stuff comes, because you never know. Sometimes we do something crazy.
Yeah.
Extremely crazy. While you're there on YouTube doing all that stuff, liking the video, subscribing, clicking the bell, please make sure to check out Mike's other pages. First one that he does is a video game page that I don't know how much of it he does anymore and how much his wife is actually being a part of doing. But it's a page where they play video games in chronological order and then like show you videos of them playing the games. Actually most times badly, especially when Mike is the one playing. This site is called Chronozode Games. This page is called Chronozode Games. And I would suggest you check that out. Subscribe to that.
Thank you.
And then one more that Mike does, he does a music page, because Mike is the kind of the resident music guy. This one is called Ruling Note Music, and this is where Mike talks about gear, music history, mm-hmm. basically all things music related. Check that out too. Subscribe to that too. Although, to be completely honest, they don't need subscriptions on that one because they already got their own custom URL. We need them on ours. But still, let's keep it all in the family. Anyway, thank you for listening. Again, thank you very much if you took a little bit of time out of your 4th of July celebration to listen. And here's the thing. If you're just now realizing how important spam is for patriotism, I understand it's the 4th of July. Some things are going to close early because, you know.
Yeah. Mark.
Even if you go out tomorrow and get yourself some spam and have yourself some spams tomorrow, it's a day late for patriotism, but that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't have to be on the 4th of July. It can be any day. Anytime you have spam, you're doing your patriotic duty. Anyway. Thank you all for listening, and have a happy 4th of July.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.